Hi, welcome to the Subway ad for $2.99 subs. How would you like it?
I'll take Drill Sergeant, please.
You got it.
All right, now listen up. I want each and every one of you to drop and give me a 6-inch meatball marinara, cold cut combo, veggie delight, or Black Forest ham on your choice of bread with any veggies you want for just $2.99 each.
Sir, yes, sir!
Subway! Make it what you want at participating restaurants. Additional charge for extras plus applicable tax. No additional discounts or coupons may be applied.
This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The greatest trick the devil ever pulled was convincing the world he didn't exist.
Open the pod bay doors, Hal.
I'm sorry, Dave. I'm afraid I can't do that.
You want answers!
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
You ever dance with the devil in the pale moonlight? What?
Take your stinking paws off me, you damn dirty ape!
At the Movies on BFM 89.9.
I'm Uma Paganampike Pagan, and I'm speaking today to actor Josh McDermott. He, of course, plays Eugene Porter on the hit series The Walking Dead.
Hi, I'm Josh McDermott. I play Eugene Porter on the hit zombie television show The Walking Dead.
Josh, let's kick things off by talking about that season opener. It was incredible. It was absolutely brutal. But given the history of the show, were you surprised at the fan reaction? Because I've come to expect that kind of insanity from The Walking Dead.
I didn't think... I don't know. It's interesting because that first episode was... There was a huge buildup. Obviously, you know, there was a cliffhanger. People wanted to know what was going on. People were very passionate. I heard a lot of people tuned into the series for the first time just to see that episode. That's not a good episode to start watching this show. Like, you should really start from the beginning and build up to it. That is such a brutal episode. But the fans are very passionate. They're excited to be in the fandom, and they're very vocal when it comes to their love for the show. They're fervent. And I love that. You know, this is a show that is now in its seventh season. And at this point in other programs, a show in their seventh season might be, you know, taking their foot off the gas. You know, they might be slowing down a bit, and not this show. We're stepping on the gas and trying to go faster and stronger. And that's what makes the show great, I think.
So I'm always curious about what it's like working on a show in which everyone is expendable. I mean, how far in advance do people know if they're about to die?
I mean, they typically, I don't know, there's not a steadfast rule. They get a couple months advance notice. I do get surprised at times when I'll see something in the script that I go, I wonder if this is setting something up. And the next thing you know, yes, the next script, I see that we're losing a character. The character of Spencer, his death, you know, obviously that took place in the comics, but the writers write the show in a way that keep you guessing. Even if you think you know, you're still guessing. And even though I knew that his death was close from the comics point of view, I was still surprised to see that he died, because I thought, oh, they're toying with us. They're going to drag this out. They're going to do it at some point next season. And yet he still died this season. And that was surprising. That's how it happens. You know, they give you a couple, you know, they probably give the actual actor a couple months heads up notice, but everyone else, they kind of let them know, you know, just a couple weeks in advance.
And that's interesting, because we see that with Game of Thrones as well, where there seemed to be a different audience that reads the book and then watches the show, or reads the comics with regards to The Walking Dead and then watches the show. So the level of shock and surprise is, well, it's really funny watching it on the internet.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, if you know the source material, you're going to know, you know, the broad strokes of what could take place. I think that the thing that our show does so well is, you know, we obviously tell the story from an emotional point of view, not just retelling the story that we have in the comics. You know, a lot of these decisions that are being made are from a character's emotions, not necessarily because, you know, we have a script and a story that we need to fill. And I like that. You know, that makes things different. It keeps people on the edge of their seat. It makes them more invested in things, and it keeps people guessing. I mean, if you know the source material, why not try and be surprised? Even though you might know that something's going to happen to a certain character, how we get to that point might be different. And that can draw someone in who's very aware of the source material. You could bring them back into the fold and say, this is fresh and new and exciting for you, and there's a place for you as well, even though you might know what's going on. This show is also for you. Real quick, let me say this. I think sometimes, too, when I know what's going on, if I've read a book and then I go see a movie about that or something, you know, there's something not that exciting when I know what's going to happen. It's not that exciting for me. So I like that a show like Game of Thrones deviates, or a show like The Walking Dead deviates from the source material, because it just makes it more interesting.
Directors and screenwriters have that almost impossible task of taking content that's so popular and so beloved and trying to make it new for the people who love that content and who know it as well.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I mean, there is a... I don't know. It's difficult, especially with like social media and the internet these days. Everyone's a critic. Everyone knows they want to second guess every decision that's ever made about everything and say, well, this is how it should have been done. Or, you know, everyone just has an opinion, and it's like, let's just take a step back and let the storytellers tell their story, and it makes a difficult job a little bit easier when people are able to do that.
So, Josh, we're 7 seasons in, and we're now inundated with a lot more zombie content than there was when The Walking Dead first premiered. And I'm curious what you think is the lasting appeal of the genre, and also what the lasting appeal of The Walking Dead is in particular, because you guys are still pretty much the standard bearers when it comes to zombie fiction right now.
Yeah, thanks. I think that the interesting thing is the show is not about zombies. It's about these survivors trying to survive in this world, where the biggest threat is not, you know, a dead person trying to kill you. It's the alive person who's trying to take your things, trying to steal your resources and that sort of thing. And as long as we're telling that story, I think this genre is popular. I think people are obviously trying to capitalize on, you know, the popularity of zombie shows and that sort of thing, where it's probably not going to be as good because they just think the formula is throw a few zombies in there and the rest of the story will fall into place. Well, that's not the case. You know, this has always been a show about these survivors, and, you know, it's exciting to see more and more stuff within the genre starting to pop up, because it just means more fans are going to come to the genre and obviously come to our show. As you said, we're kind of the standard bearer, and with that, there's a responsibility to make sure that we're still creating good content and putting out a good show. I've certainly seen some stuff that's not good with some other zombie content, I guess you could put it that way, and it's like, okay, well, you need to think this through a little bit more, because it's not as simple as just putting on scary makeup and eating guts from someone.
No, with that being said, I always have this overwhelming sense of hopelessness when I'm watching your show, and I've wondered if that was the driving philosophy at those writers' meetings. I mean, if you know that, you know, no character is allowed to be happy for too long a period of time.
It seems like the happier you get, the...
Oh, the bigger the fall.
The quicker your demise comes. The bigger the fall, for sure. What a great way to put it. Yeah, they... I don't know, anytime... someone is content or starts talking about the future, I'm like, whoop, look out, they're gonna die. I'm very aware of that as well. I would rather be living in a bleak world the whole time, because that might ensure my longevity on the show as much as I can. You know, it's you know, you definitely need some hope. You need some talk of the future at times, because as bleak as this world is, like, that's the reality of how this would be. But I also think the reality is it is a bleak world. You know, here we have a madman out here taking half of everyone's stuff, and he just killed, you know, several community members, you know, within our group. And that's sad. We're not going to go off and just talk about how happy life's going to be. Like, this is traumatizing to everybody, and it becomes survival of the fittest for sure. It's an interesting look at society and what we might be if the apocalypse actually happened. I mean, I feel like every time we turn on the news, you know, there's another country rattling their saber and saying, you know, we're going to attack you, or, you know, don't give us sanctions and we're going to do this and I'll do that. Or, you know, different people are elected as leaders of countries and there's a lot of famine and death everywhere. Now, all this stuff that we hear in the news is very discouraging. And sometimes it feels like we're on the doorstep of what could be an apocalypse. And this show really captures what the world would actually be like. It would be a pretty negative place to live in. It wouldn't be all happiness. I mean, you look at a place like the kingdom that's contained in our world, you know, with King Ezekiel and stuff, they've done a good job at pulling a veil over their heads and pretending that society hasn't crumbled. I feel like that would be realistic and real if apocalypse actually happened. And I also think people like Negan would actually pop up if the apocalypse happened. It's a nice way to look at what our society would do if we went down that road.
I was wondering if you could give me some insight, some behind-the-scenes insight, because I love those scenes where people are getting mowed down because they're all shot, you know, they're all wide shots, and you don't often see that. You see close-ups and people's heads are getting blown off, and that must be incredibly challenging to shoot. And I was wondering what that's like for you as an actor, because there's all of this stuff going on screen.
Yeah, I mean, I think with the advent of digital technology as it pertains to film, has made the actor's job harder. Anytime you're acting against a green screen or against, you know, something that's not there is difficult, because you want to display fear from the character. And how can you do that when you're trying to imagine what is attacking you and they're just going to put it in with a computer later? Like, that's always hard. And the thing that we definitely do digital technology on our show, but the thing that we try and do is have practical effects. We try to have real people in zombie makeup and real stunt people attacking you so that you can, you know, stab them in the head and they can fall down and that sort of thing. So we're not having to fake that. And it makes things easier. It really does. It's interesting you brought up the wide shot. I know that's something that they like to do because it definitely shows how big this world is and maybe how many zombies are coming. And we don't get to just cut away to an action shot. It does look cooler when it's seen in a wide. And we have Victor Scalise is one of our special effects guys, our digital guy. He sits there and he's on set with his computer watching every kill, saying, "You didn't quite get the knife deep enough into the head, so let's shoot that again so that he can digitally come in later and make the knife longer or have blood splatter out the other side when you shoot someone with a gun or something." You know, he's very involved in making sure that everything is done properly so that he can go in later with his post-production team and put in the blood splatter and make it look incredible. My favorite is when Michonne has her sword and she like slices off a head and you see the top of the head go spinning off camera. Like, that's incredible. And
yeah,
that's all Victor and his crew. They do such an amazing job. It's fun to be a part of something like that.
So Josh, before I let you go, I've got to ask, you've got, you know, hands down the greatest mullet on television now. When I heard they were rebooting MacGyver, I was thinking maybe we might get a mullet, but nope, you've got the best mullet. So talk to us about mullet upkeep.
Thank you. I feel like I have a lot of responsibility.
You do.
I feel like people are looking to me for guidance at times. You know, I don't know that MacGyver, the remake, would have been greenlit had Eugene not been on The Walking Dead sporting a mullet in advance. You know, there's not a lot of upkeep with the mullet. It's a mullet. It's going to look like a mullet whether you make it look good or not. And so basically, you know, I wear a hat a lot of times, but I just kind of roll out of bed and whatever it looks like is what it's going to do and how it's going to be. I mean, I'll take a shower and just let it air dry, let the curls come out naturally and just, you know, embrace it. At first, I didn't really like the mullet. I was a little turned off by it. I thought, oh no, what have I done? Because I have blonde hair normally. Obviously, my hair is not cut into a mullet. And then to to go completely opposite and full in with this haircut was a little shocking to me, but I've since embraced it, and I'm proud to wear it, and to, you know, I have a lot of responsibility. I hope to live up to the hype.
Josh, it's been an absolute pleasure talking to you, man.
Thank you so much. It's been great chatting with you.
That was Josh McDermott. He plays Eugene Porter on The Walking Dead. Season 7 returned to air February 13th, and you can catch all new episodes of the series on Fox HD. That's Astro Channel 724 at 9 p.m. every Monday. You've been listening to At The Movies. This is BFM 89.9.
Hi, welcome to the Subway ad for $2.99 subs. How would you like it?
I'll take Drill Sergeant, please.
You got it.
All right, now listen up. I want each and every one of you to drop and give me a 6-inch meatball marinara, cold-cut combo, veggie delight, or Black Forest ham on your choice of bread with any veggies you want for just $2.99 each.
Sir, yes, sir!
Subway! Make it what you want at participating restaurants. Additional charge for extras plus applicable tax. No additional discounts or coupons may be applied.